Good morning, family.
Let's
pray as we begin. I want to continue where Andy left off. And Lord, as we continue worshiping you this morning, may the words of our mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you. And I ask, Father, today that you be glorified in everything that's said today. May our hearts truly be broken before you. May they be open before you. I pray, Father, too, that we'll worship you from our hearts today, not just to hurry to get through service, but really think about the words that we're saying. And Lord God, I just ask individually for myself today for strength, for that you empower me to share your word today. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. We ask that you fill this place, Father. Fill every heart here today with your presence. We need you, and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, here's a quiz for you. True or false? All right, you just kind of mentally go through them, okay? Russia has a larger surface area than Pluto. An octopus has three hearts. France was still executing people by the guillotine when Star Wars: A New Hope hit the theaters. What do you think about that one? Armadillos almost always give birth to quadruplets. Nintendo was originally a trading card company. Which is true and which is false? How many here think number one's false? Nobody? How about number two? How about number three? Man, y'all are good. Number four? Number five? You all think these are true statements? Well, you've just shot down my opening. Well, I thought for sure there was one of them in here that you didn't know. You all really impressed me. Maybe you're just afraid to answer. That's a good point. That's a good point. Great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding has no limit. Theologians call that omniscience, meaning that he's all-knowing, all-knowledge. So when it comes to God, there is nothing that God has learned. And as we talk today about this wonderful truth, it really has a powerful... we've been thinking about what to share as we transition, as we make this transition from here. And we our last Sunday with you is going to be the 27th in 2 weeks, and we're not looking forward to the day, but we're asking God to give us words that will encourage each of us during this time. And I pray that what we talk about will help us all during this transition. And I was reflecting and thinking this week about the fact that God is all-knowing is a great comfort as we walk through this transition together. So let's think about this thing today. God knows all things, okay? All those answers he would have gotten right. But what blows me away is the fact that he knows all things, past, present, future, what could have been, what is, and what will be. And y'all may have got the five right, but there's still things you and I do not know about. Who can fathom the Spirit of the Lord or instruct the Lord as his counselor? Whom did the Lord consult to enlighten him, and who taught him the right way? Who was it that taught him knowledge or showed him the path of understanding? And the rhetorical questions obviously mean no one. No one has. It's interesting, as a young man was taking a chemistry exam in college, and he realized he hadn't studied for the test, and he was not prepared, and so he wrote at the very top of his paper, he said, "Only God knows the answers to these questions." And it was around Christmas time, so he said, "Merry Christmas." Well, he gets back. The teacher said, "God gets 100. You get a 0. Happy New Year." Who was it that taught God knowledge? As Isaiah asks us, has it ever occurred to you that nothing has ever occurred to God?
He hasn't had a V8 moment. He hasn't had a moment when he's realized, oh, I just completely forgot about that. I didn't know that. And the fact that when we get into Jesus, we get into who Jesus is. Jesus being God in the flesh was all-knowing. Mark chapter 2, when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now some teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves, "Why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Immediately Jesus knew in his spirit that this was what they were thinking. You know, that would have blown my mind. If I'm sitting there and I'm thinking these thoughts in my head and I'm not voicing them to anybody, and here this guy in front of me who just is about ready to heal this man says, "Why are you thinking those thoughts?" That would certainly get my attention about who this Jesus claimed to be. Powerful words. So what does God's all-knowing nature mean for our lives? What does it mean? I think where we start is the idea of prayer and the fact that we were talking about this in our class earlier about prayer and about, you know, well, if God knows everything that you need, why pray? And someone brought up the thought, well, as a parent, you know, you see your child struggling with something. So often you want to, let me help you. But you want them to come to you to, you know, to say, I need help. And I think it's the same with God. God sees us struggling. God knows our needs, but he wants us to come to him. How satisfactory that is as a parent when your child comes to you and needs your help. God's all-knowing nature influences the fact that none of us can pull one on God. These humbling words from Hebrews 4:13, "Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid before the eyes of him to whom we must give an account." That's an astounding thing to think about. The fact that God has seen every person that has been killed today. He has seen everything evil under the sun that has happened. And yet people say, why doesn't God do something about it? Why doesn't God do something? He has done something about it. He's given us hands, feet, and voices. See, God works through us to help and encourage people during difficult times. So God's all-knowing nature, none of us can pull one on him. Thirdly, God knows all about your tears. Did you know that in the time of David, it was a very ancient custom when you were at a funeral for someone to, they would pass a bottle around and everybody would put their tears in that bottle. And supposedly they believed that in the afterlife, the person could see how well they were liked by how many tears they had in the bottle. And I like how God takes that. He says, "You have taken account of my wanderings. Put my tears in your bottle. Are they not in your book?" God knows. God knows our tears. And this is where I really want to camp today, and this is the one that I think encourages us the most, and that is the fact that God is the only one who really and truly understands me. I mean, you can sit here and you can be as close to your family as you want. You can have somebody that you think really knows you, but under the grand scheme of things, they don't completely know you. Only God completely knows you. Is it possible for us to go to church our whole lives to know facts about God, but really not know him? We don't know him. And this is where we get in this idea of how well God knows us. But I think we can turn the table around and say, you know what? My task in life is for me to know God, to seek him with all my heart. It's interesting, the word yada in Scripture in Hebrew means to know completely or to be completely known. And this, my favorite psalm of the Bible, I always find a way to bring Psalm 139 around every now and then because I absolutely love the psalm. And when I see David face to face, I'm going to recite it to him. Because I absolutely love these words. Because I don't know about you, but when I'm struggling and when I'm wrestling, this week was a hard week for me. I've had a little bulging disc, herniated disc or something bothering me this week. As you know, you can probably tell I'm not moving around a whole lot. But these words comforted me, because it's the fact that God knows and cares about our lives that matters. Oh Lord, you have examined my heart and yada everything about me. You know when I sit down or stand up. You know my thoughts even when I am far away. You see me when I travel and when I rest at home. You know everything I do. You know everything. You know what I am going to say before I even say it, Lord. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Just ponder that thought just for a moment. That the God of this universe is so intimately acquainted with you that he knew you even before you ever even got into the womb. And obviously had plans, appointed you, Jeremiah, as a prophet to the nations. This is eternal life. Not just heaven, but it's that they may know you, that yada, completely to know God. And obviously all through this life, we won't. We're going to struggle knowing God. And I think one day we will completely know him. But the fact that God wants us to know him is comforting to me, as it should be comforting to you. Why does God know us so well? Well, the fact is he created us. You created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. Have you ever seen how a cell, a zygote, multiplies? It goes from 1 to 2 to 4 to 8 to 16 to 32, 64, and you can do the math. I'm lost after that. But it looks like somebody's knitting somebody together inside the womb. David said, I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. And when I awake, I am still with you. God knows us so well because he created us. And I love the fact that all the days ordained for me were written in his book before one of them came to be, meaning God knows all the choices that I'm going to make in my life. He knows me like a book. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully and marvelously made. You know, if we're to take a $20 bill, and if I'm going to crumple it up, right? $20 bill. Anybody want it? Can't throw that far. Sorry. The government says this still has value because it's, even though it's crumpled up, it's still 20 bucks. And the fact is that God looks at you and I, and he says, you have value. Everyone in this room has value. Because I created you, I love you, you have a purpose and a plan for your life. How does it make you feel that God knows you better than you know yourself? Well, some it may be very comforting. Others it may absolutely terrify them. And I think we can look at this for the unbeliever. God's all-knowing nature is not good news. You know, because of the sin issue. But for a believer, a follower of Jesus, God's all-knowing nature is good news. Because he saved me, he has rescued me, he's washed me clean. And in spite of my failures, he still loves me. Judgment Day for a believer in Jesus is a day of reward. Not a day of judgment. So when God looks at you, what image does he see? What does he see when he looks at you? Oh, he don't want to look at me. he doesn't like me. Remember we did that a couple months ago where I asked the question, how many here believe God loves them? And just about everybody raised their hand. And then I said, how many people believe God likes them? And not everybody raised their hand. See, I think God sees our heart. He sees our attempts to seek him out in our lives. He sees our struggle with sin. He says, I love you. I'm not going to throw you away. I'm not going to focus on the failures. That's my child. So how does God's all-knowing nature affect how a follower of Jesus sees their past? This beautiful passage from Jeremiah, I will forgive their wickedness and remember their sins no more. What does it mean that God forgets? No, it means that he doesn't hold those sins accountable to us anymore. Meaning my slate is wiped clean. I'm clean before the throne. So God's all-knowing nature affects how I don't see your past. But what about that time? It's forgiven. Does it help to remind ourselves that God uses very, very imperfect people in the scriptures? I just love, when you start looking at this list, I was like, wow. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob struggled with lying. Noah got drunk one time. Moses stuttered and had a speech impediment. Aaron struggled with idolatry. King David was an adulterer and killed one of his loyal men to hide his sin. Sarah, John the Baptist, and Thomas struggled with doubts. Timothy had health problems. Naomi was bitter and angry with God. Peter put his foot in his mouth a lot and was sometimes arrogant and overly confident. Miriam was a racist and a gossip. All of Jesus' apostles denied him and lived in fear after his crucifixion. Paul was a legalist who killed Christians. And Elijah struggled with depression. What kind of problem do you have? See, these are ordinary people that got caught up in the will of God. I don't know where we get the idea that there's some special Bible character. Because they're not. They're ordinary people, just like you and I. They put the shirt on, they put the pants on every day, and they got caught up in the will of God. How does God's all-knowing nature not only affect my past, how does it affect my present? The fact that God is always present with me, always present, should be the greatest comfort that we have. As believers. See, God's all-knowing, ever-present nature should have changed the way that we daily live. It should change how you talk to people. It should change how you deal with people on a daily basis. You know? Because, you know, our public and our private life can be very, very different. You know, we all put on the amen mask and we walk in here and we say all the right things and we say the, you know, but what are we like when we go home? You know? I remember a couple months ago, some of the young people in the inner city that I used to be with in Mobile, a lot of them are on my Facebook account. And I love keeping up with them because I want to know what they're doing, and I write them every now and then and encourage them. But every now and then I'll see one of them say, you know, something on their Facebook that really is very bad word or something very unchristlike. And I'll always encourage them with these words. You're called to be a disciple of Jesus in every aspect of your life. Whether you're on the internet, you're at church, you're home, or you're at work. I don't know where we get the idea that when we come in here, everyone's fine and everyone's great and there's no problems and we think everyone has nothing going on in their lives when the opposite is true. We're all struggling and wrestling here with something today. I've shared with you mine. Why can't we share with each other what we're wrestling with? Do we act the same at church as that we do at home? If we followed you home, what would we see? What would we hear? Those are some very humbling things to think about. It reminds me that we are in need of grace and forgiveness just as much today as we did the day of our baptism. We need grace. We need daily grace and forgiveness. So how does God's all-knowing nature affect how a follower sees the future? I love this passage from Isaiah 46. Remember the former things, those of long ago. I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is none like me. I make known the end from the beginning, from ancient times. what is still to come. Psychic networks ain't going to work. Nobody knows the future but God. And to me, that's comforting because God has got our best interest in heart for each of us. So if we're worried about the future, if we're worried about what's going to happen here and what's going to happen to our country and what's going to happen, God is already there. And I love how he loves to work all things together for the good. That is a promise I can hold on to, a promise I can keep. Paul writes as we close, you can't talk about this. This is one of the most beautiful passages in the whole book of Romans. Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom. Let's all stand. Let's all stand and read this. Oh, the depth of the riches. I can't hear you. Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable his judgments and his past beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor? Who has ever given to God that God should repay them? For from him and through him and for him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen.
Oh, draw me, Lord. Oh, draw me, Lord. Oh, draw me, Lord. And I'll beautiful beyond description, too marvelous for words, too wonderful for comprehension, like nothing ever seen or heard. Who can grasp your infinite wisdom? Who can fathom the depth of your love? You are beautiful beyond description, majesty enthroned above. And I stand in awe of you. I stand in awe of you. Holy God, to whom all praise is due, I stand in and I stand in awe of you. I stand, I stand in awe of you. Holy God, to whom all praise is due, I stand in awe of you. Is all I seek, and when your eyes are on this child, your grace
sing now. The whole earth is full of his glories. That's right, sing. The whole earth is full of his glory. The whole earth is full of his glory. Said,
amen.
Amen.
Jesus, my Savior, waiting the coming day, Jesus, my Lord, vainly they washed his bed.
His foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, he arose. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Please be seated. Let us share together in the Lord's Supper.
Hallelujah. Are we excited? Our Savior rose. That's something to be excited about, ain't Morris?
Yes.
The reason he did arise is that the prime example for us of our death, burial, and resurrection. So what we're about to do right now is to remember what he did. Not only just remember what he did on the cross, but what did Jesus do in his life? Since he's 12 years old, teaching. We need to remember these things. Remember what he did through the Passover and the trials and temptations and the day he died. But also, on a positive note, what happened after the cross? He arose. So that's something exciting about, because we got a Savior that died for us, and he arose. And he's on the right hand of God right now. And he's going to be there until the day he comes back to receive us. Jesus defeating sin while he still lived, but he defeated death by the glory of the Father. We are defeating sin through Jesus, our Savior. Accepting Jesus, the death, burial, resurrection. We got a lot of little babies in here. Mr. Shelton over here has got a huge smile on his face. Got a little baby right there. That baby does not know sin. When we're born in this world, we don't have that sin. We don't know it. Like Jesus, he didn't have sin, but he knew it. The symbolic part here is Jesus took on our sins. And when these little babies grow up to be big and start understanding, they become a sinner. And symbolic path here, Jesus didn't sin, but he became sin. We became sinner on our own merits. Jesus took our sins into the burial, our sins. And by the glory of the Father, Christ arose, even though we also rise to walk in newness of life. This is the good news. That is it. This is it, guys. What do we get through this? I'm not here to do a sermon. Chris has already gave us a great sermon, but I just want to point this out. What do we get with the good news? We get eternal life. We get forgiveness. Thank God for the mercy. We're not really going to get what we deserve. But for God's grace, we get something we don't deserve either. Also. So it's from one point, we don't get the eternal damnation. We get eternal life with God. So I've heard it said before, you know, Satan never reminds you of your past. Remind him of his future, because he's not condemned yet. You know, when Jesus was on the earth and he's walking and had a group of people following him, he went up to this man that was possessed by several demons. So they called them legions. Imagine Jesus walking, all these people around him. Some people had good faith. Some people believe that's Jesus. Some of them's like, man, I don't know, but it sounds good. Let's maybe carry along with them. And when he got there, the demon said, "Thou Son of God, what hast thou done? Come to condemn us before our time?" What do you think those people thought over here that didn't know if it was really Jesus? All of a sudden, they knew those was demons, but they said, "Thou Son of God." Those demons was a witness to those people for Jesus. That's good news. The Lion King. Anybody ever saw The Lion King? If you've got kids, you've seen it several times. The little monkey comes up and smacks this lion. He goes, "Al, what'd you do that for?" "It don't matter. It's in the past." He goes, "Yeah, but it still hurts." Well, things in the past do hurt, but we've got to focus on the future. That jumped all over me that day and has been on me since then. I don't know how many times I've said this, because what that spoke to me is God is saying, "I know you've sinned, but it's in the past. If you're a born-again Christian, it is forgiven. Don't lose sleep over it anymore. When you go to bed, sleep well. But I sin, Lord, I know it. My son, forgive you, but I want you to learn from it. Now let's focus on the future. Let's get off of our past sins so we can focus on other people and teach them Jesus." With that good news being said, let's go to God in prayer. Just thank him for what he's done. Dear Lord, thank you for this awesome day. This beautiful weather. The starting of fall. Lord, thank you for Jesus. And the atonement we get through him. Making us join heirs to Jesus when we accept you through death, burial, and resurrection. Lord, thank you for dying on the cross for us. As we take this bread that represents your body, we just want to be able to love you and appreciate you and have sincere respect that you deserve. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we get prepared to take the fruit of the vine that represents Jesus' blood shed on the cross, think about this. Jesus came to give us this information that our joy may be full, that our joy may be complete. Be excited, be happy. So as we take this cup here in just a second, we're remembering Jesus in all forms of fashion, but remember, he's on the right-hand side right now. He wants us to be his happy people. He wants us to be glowing with godliness, happiness. Because when we do that in our workplace, they will be guys and girls, men and women. So, man, there's something different about that guy. And there is something different. We have Jesus, and we need to share the message, the good news. Let's pray. Dear Lord, again we come to you thanking you for your Son. Thank you, Jesus, for your dedication to do the will of the Father. Thank you for taking my stripes and the beating and the sacrifice that you did. If we chose to, we could have eternal life with you. Thank you for that sacrifice. And please, God, be with us when we take this right now to just have joy, complete joy in our hearts. And we hate that he had to go through the suffering and pain, but we appreciate that he did. Help us to be joyful and happy after this prayer, during this communion, and to know we are redeemed and we'll be with you forever in heaven. In the name of Jesus, I pray, amen. Are we thankful? Let's go to God in prayer. Dear Lord, thank you. Thank you, thank you very much for all that you bless us with. This amazing earth that you created. It rains itself. It waters everything on its own. We have fruits and vegetables. We have a way of life. We have all sustenance that we need to survive because you created for us. Thank you for blessing us, the ones here for us meals this morning that are here. We love you. We're not here to get a car stamp, Lord. We're here to praise you and give you glory. Thank you for the jobs that we have. Thank you for the health that we have so that we can get up and provide for families. Lord, as we give back a portion of what we've made to you, may we all just have the right attitude and do it because we want to and for appreciation. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Lowly Jesus, no, not one, no, not one. None else could heal all our souls' diseases. No, not one, no, not one. Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. There's not an hour that he is not near us. No, not one. No, not one. No night so dark but his love can cheer us. No, not one. No, not one. Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one.
I'd like to say, even though we didn't have a formal invitation, the invitation is open 24/7. All the elders would appreciate if you need to talk to us, to call us and just let us know the need, and we'll be glad to pray with you or whatever. Right now, let's close in prayer. Dearly Father, we come to you thanking you for this time we've had together, thanking you for the blessings that have been stated already. Derek just expounded upon that wonderfully. We know we are blessed, and we know it comes from you. We just pray that if these earthly blessings that you so graciously bestow upon us were taken away, that we would not deny you. We know that the greatest blessing is eternal life because of your Son on the cross. Be with us as we continue through today and this week and the rest of this year. Be with those that need your healing. Be with those that need your comfort. Help us to be showing the love of Christ that he's given us to others in our life. We love you and pray in Christ's name. Amen.